on the Tomei Expressway. Adding to my irritation was the fact that everyone in the surrounding cars seemed to be triumphantly setting off on their holidays. Fathers manned the steering wheels, while mothers passed snacks to children, battling with inflated plastic water wings. I was contemplating grabbing a pair of wings and floating off to Phuket when the cellular telephone rang. "Ray Shimura Antiques," I answered, while fumbling with the receiver. I had recently read that car phone users were as dangerous as drunken drivers, and given my lack of coordination, I believed it.
"Ray-san, where are you exactly?"
Nana Mihori's patient voice crackled across the line. We'd talked every one of the last 13 days, including the day before when I'd called her from outside Nara to say I was going home. I'd seen many chests that almost met her requirements, but she wanted a special tansu she'd seen in a book. All my clients wanted something they'd seen in a book. "I'm pretty close to the Izu Peninsula, I think." I squinted at a road sign far ahead of me, thinking how unfortunate it was that I was still nowhere near knowing the standard base of 1500 to 2000 kanji, or pictographic characters, needed to be a literate adult. I'd grown up in San Francisco with an American mother and a father from Japan. Speaking was easy for me, and usually all I needed for my job as a freelance antiques buyer.
"It is convenient that you are still outside Tokyo. I have learned about a very nice store in Hita that carries high-quality antiques from all over the country. My friend, Mrs. Kita, found a handsome clothing chest there last week."
"Isn't Hita near Hakone?" The hot springs region she was talking about was not far from my route.
"Rei-san, you have been working so hard for me. I want to make sure you get your buyer's commission. But after all your travels, I worry it's an imposition to ask you to stop."
"Oh, it's no trouble at all. Where's the shop?" I balanced the phone against my shoulder and began digging around for a pen. The truth was, I needed her badly. My business was 5 months old, and the foreign expatriate clients I'd hoped to attract had turned out to be pretty stingy. My Aunt Norie had recently introduced me to Nana Mihori, the wife of the owner of a famous Zen temple in Kamakura, a picturesque city an hour south of Tokyo. Nana's funds were unlimited, as was her potential for good word of mouth. I couldn't let her down. Saying goodbye to my customer, I noticed that a boy and girl riding in the Mitsubishi Charisma on my right were imitating me by talking into their soft drink cans. I mouthed "moshi moshi," the standard telephone greeting, at them. The kids giggled and said something back. What was it? "Abunai," I realized belatedly as something big and brutal jolted my car. Danger. I dropped the phone and clung to the steering wheel that had loosened under my fingers. I stomped on the brake and glanced in the rearview mirror. It was filled with the sight of a small commercial truck whose driver was waving me toward the expressway's narrow shoulder. How I could crash a car in all but stopped traffic was beyond me. I was the queen of bad luck. Repairs to the luxurious Toyota Wyndham would probably be astronomical. And the worst part was that it wasn't even my car. It belonged to Hugh. Feeling numb, I watched the truck driver emerge wearing a cheerful yellow jumpsuit and matching cap. Under other circumstances, I would have smiled. I crept out of the Wyndham, aware of how disreputable I appeared. A vaguely Japanese-looking woman in her late 20s, with short hair, shorter shorts, and a shrunken UC Berkeley t-shirt. I hurried toward him in my flip-flop sandals, my Japanese driver's license and Hugh's automobile registration clutched in hand. The trucker was carrying something too, a small, unopened can of Yodel water. He offered it to me in a bizarre gesture of hospitality. I accepted, glancing at the cheery slogan written in English. "Always makes you fresh and cool wherever you try it." Not today, I thought, my t-shirt already beginning to stick to my back. Together, we surveyed the results of our collision. The truck's damage appeared minimal. A bit of the Wyndham's shiny black paint had rubbed onto his fender. But my left taillight was smashed. The driver picked delicately at the remaining glass chips, wrapped them up in a tissue, and handed them to me.
"Domo sumimasen deshita."
The man's formal apology startled me, before I remembered that under Japanese law, the vehicle hitting the other is